I now call this regular meeting of April 1st, 2020, for the Blue Valley County Board of Supervisors to order. We'll begin with pledge allegiance followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. I find it very difficult to call it regular meeting because if anything, there's nothing regular about the times that we face right now.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a couple of comments about the procedure for the day? This is
Good segue. Follow us on procedure.
It's a good segue. It is. This is unusual. And I would note for the record that the board has a quorum with the chairman and Mr. Weaver and Mr. O'Brien present. It's my understanding that Mrs. Eager and Mrs. Booker can hear what's going on and will, but are unable to participate because of pre-existing medical conditions. The way I would suggest you proceed is to go forward on the basis of the having an in-person quorum for the regular meeting to address the first three items on the agenda, that is the resolution regarding the procedures for electronic meetings, the emergency ordinance, and the resolution adopting the temporary emergency amendment to the leave policy. Address those. Then at that point, the meeting can be held as a as being authorized under the second of those, that is the emergency ordinance, which is adopted under.
So we will not ask for any kind of a vote from the ladies.
Not
until we get to after Mr. Dahl's report.
You've got my point exactly.
And then I need to call them one by one to make sure we get which one it is.
Yes.
Roll call vote.
When there's a, if you need a vote after that for the other items on the agenda, these items are consciously designed to address only continuity of government, which is the subject addressed by the emergency ordinance. And in that case, it would be appropriate to have a roll call vote so that each supervisor identifies his own vote.
And then let me add one thing to that, too. The reason we kind of did this to have the both Mrs. Booker and Mrs. Eager stay out of the first two votes, because if we had them vote, then they would be considered using their two electronic meetings per year. So this way, any board member that participated in that previous electronic meeting, they'll still have one per year that they can participate in.
Right.
In addition to the previous meeting, Mr. Payne, is there anything that we should do ratifying the previous meeting?
Yes, I would suggest that you ratify the all the actions taken by the board at the previous meeting. Just make clear
because we did not have three in the room to make sure we ratify.
Yes.
And do you want to do that? Would that procedurally, would that be best done by the three right now, or do that once we get
I would suggest
the,
you go ahead and take the three regular items and then have the in-person quorum ratify the last meeting.
And it would just be the three of us to ratify that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
All right.
And then just one item to add to before you do adoption of the agenda. So the one thing I would recommend, just due to the fact that, you know, having people out in the public exposed more than we need to, I would recommend, we have a budget work session scheduled for 7 p.m. Rather than wait for 7 p.m. for the budget work session, if the regular meeting takes 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, whatever it is, I would recommend once we get to unfinished business be the budget work session discussion and just go right into it.
And just to make sure that we are consistent, Mr. Dahl and I have discussed this, and in my opinion, dealing with having adopted a budget and the tax rate and things related to that, is consistent with addressing the continuity of government.
Correct.
So it would be appropriate under the ordinance to have that work session during this meeting.
Now, I do not see our young lady from VDOT. Are we going to?
She's outside.
Okay.
In the hall.
I got you.
Yep.
All right, then we will move forward with the adoption of the agenda.
So made.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 3-0 with two absent. First is A, resolution authorizing the adoption of procedures for electronic public meetings and public hearings to ensure the continuity of government during the COVID-19 pandemic disaster. Mr. Dodd?
Mr. Chairman, so what I'll do, I'll go through just a brief presentation, just kind of describing where we are, and items A and B kind of fall in tune with one another, and then we'll go into item C. So let me...
You want me to read B then also?
You know, I can go through...
Mr. Payne?
It should be read. This should be dealt with separately.
Yeah. So again, we're dealing with the resolution and emergency ordinance for electronic meetings. So if you remember at the board's last meeting on March, at the board's regular meeting on March 18th, the board amended the bylaws for meetings conducted through telephonic, video, electronic, and other electronic communication. So under the governor's emergency declaration, without a physical quorum, the board could get together and discuss topics that are of not ordinary, of emergency matters. We cannot discuss things that are of ordinary county business. So last meeting, the board approved an amendment to the bylaws to allow the board to participate via electronic means. And as we move forward with this, you know, as I said before, the one thing is it only allows for that participation to happen twice per year. And since last previous meeting, there's three board members that were not present. That would be their one out of two per year. So that's what the board adopted last time. Like I said, that's to discuss emergency-related topics. Now what we're moving into a resolution and emergency ordinance for electronic meetings, and it gets a little confusing. But really, so one, we have to get the board to adopt a resolution first to maintain Susquehanna County government operations during the COVID-19 pandemic disaster. This resolution adopts procedures for electronic public meetings and public hearings and is proposed to ensure the continuity of government. Second, is the emergency ordinance. So the emergency ordinance really, which Mr. Payne described before under Virginia Code 15.2-1413, makes virtual and telephone meetings during a disaster allowed for continuity of government and also directly related to the emergency. So by the board kind of going through and adopting the resolution and the emergency ordinance, today, for the first three items, we have a quorum here, so we're going to go ahead and we're basically using the regular meeting procedures for that. But for the rest of the meeting, once the emergency ordinance is adopted, as Mr. Payne said before, then Mrs. Booker and Mrs. Eager can participate at that point because everything on the agenda deals with continuity of government. Couple things to note, under Virginia Code 1413, this can be done notwithstanding any contrary provision of law, such as FOIA. Meetings should be as public as possible under the circumstances, such as streaming conference call. We've gone through measures to get this meeting. We have it. We have the board members that are not here. They're able to participate and see what's on the screen. In addition, we've got the public through Facebook Live participating, and they can see what's on the screen, and they can hear what's going on during the meeting as well. So we are participating and trying to make the meeting as public as possible. Under this emergency ordinance, it will remain in full force and effect for a period of 60 days unless the board decides otherwise or rescinds the emergency ordinance. But in no event shall the ordinance be in effect for more than 6 months. So, and maybe Mr. Payne, you can just kind of talk about this. Say we have a future meeting. If we have a quorum again, we don't need to operate under the emergency ordinance, correct? Correct.
Okay.
So really, that's really agenda items A and B. And Mr. Payne, I'll let you, you know, kind of chime in on anything for those.
I think you've addressed them perfectly.
Okay.
Thoroughly.
Okay.
No. Do we have a motion for matter A?
I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors to adopt the resolution entitled Resolution Authorizing the Adoption of Procedures for Electronic Public Meetings and Public Hearings to Ensure the Continuity of Government During the COVID-19 Pandemic Disaster.
Second.
Got a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 3-0. B, emergency ordinance to effectuate temporary changes in certain deadlines and to modify public meeting and public hearing practices and procedures to address continuity of operations associated with the pandemic disaster. Mr. Dahl has already gone over that with us. Do I have a motion?
I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors adopt the ordinance entitled Emergency Ordinance to effectuate temporary changes in certain deadlines and to modify public meetings and public hearing practices and procedures to address continuity of operations associated with the pandemic disaster.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 3-0. Now we have a C, resolution authorizing the adoption of the temporary emergency amendment to employee leave policy. Ms. Rice.
I'll start off a little bit and I'll let Ms. Rice chime in as well. So again, you know, due to this pandemic disaster that we're dealing with, there's been certain things that have been approved from the federal level regarding sick leave for employees due to this. One thing that we are wanting to do too, because actually the federal's policy goes into effect today, April 1st, but due to the fact that this started prior to April 1st, we are asking for a temporary change as well to make it go back a little further retroactively to March 15th as well, which would then cover employees between the period of March 15th to March 31st, and then the federal piece goes into effect on April 1. And let me go ahead and pull up.
That's really item 3 you're talking about.
It is. It's item C. Yes, item C, correct. Let me pull up the link, Mr. Weaver. Yeah, so Ms. Rice, do you want to talk a little bit about this or do you want me to go into it?
Either way.
Okay, so basically the county's personnel policy currently outlines procedures for sick leave in accordance with EEOC, ADA, FLSA, and other wage and hour laws. In response to the COVID-19 pandemic, the president signed the family's paid emergency sick leave for employees who become ill who have been exposed to someone. The dates of that, and under item 3 on this action item, it says March 15th through April 1st. But there was actually a change yesterday. Christina Hoffman from Mr. Payne's office let me know that there was a slight modification. And instead of making it effective on April 2nd, they made it effective on April 1st just to be consistent with starting at the beginning of the month. So I've gone ahead and made a few changes. And let me go ahead and close this document out so you can see those changes. So if you go here, let me turn on... So if you go here, so in the package, you know, it describes on March 11th, the World Health Organization declared COVID an outbreak pandemic, showed what the president and Senate did, why we're implementing this sick leave policy, how it pertains to the county's personnel policy. And you can see up here on the screen that we did make some slight modifications, what was in the package. It previously said April 1st, and we changed that to March 31st. So we are asking the board to adopt this to allow amendment to the county sick leave policy to allow those employees between March 15th and March 31st to still be eligible for sick leave if they had to go out for some reason or if they had some exposure. But then in addition to that, starting on April 1st, there's a federal policy in place that allows employees to get up to 80 hours paid sick leave. You want to add on to that, Ms. Rice?
No, so what this is just an extension of what President Trump had signed previously. We pulled it back for about 2 weeks. And just as a kind of a county status update, we currently do not have any staff members that have tested positive nor any immediate family members that are tested positive. So there may have been some that were home out of caution, but everybody's in good shape right now, and this is just to provide that provision for what took place prior to April 1st.
And again, we're making this retroactive to March 15th. So any of those employees that maybe had, you know, some symptoms that were sent home because of that, again, no one's been positive, but this would just allow them to be paid sick leave as well. And then the next piece is starting April 1st, any employee that does show symptoms to be paid as well sick leave. And this is in addition to their ordinary sick leave as well.
And that's through June the 30th.
It's through June the 30th, correct. And now, and is that the federal piece through June the 30th?
Yes.
Yes. So again, so we have made changes on the resolution, and the resolution that you have before you contains the corrected changes. And again, on the actual emergency temporary amendment to the personnel policy, down here, you can see down here as well, we've made some brief changes, what was previously in the package, to also reflect those changes and dates as well. So unless the board has any further questions regarding this action matter, I would entertain them.
I'll make a motion. I move to approve the resolution titled A Resolution for a Temporary Emergency Amendment to Employee Leave Policy effective March the 15th, 2020 through June the 30th, 2020 as presented.
Second. Motion's made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And chair votes aye. Motion passes 3-0 with 2 absences. All righty. County Administrator's report, Mr. Dahl.
Yeah, and just for the record, you know, so now we have approved those new resolutions. Now, going forward, Mrs. Eager and Mrs. Booker will be able to participate in the votes, full participation moving forward in the remainder of the action matters. So I just have a couple of quick things to report on, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Just some announcement. Today is Census Day. April 1st is Census Day. It's also April Fool's Day, but we'll just go with Census Day, and we'll keep it at that. So Census Day, you know, helps determine hundreds of billions of dollars in federal funding and how they flow into the communities every year. You know, it affects transportation. It affects school funding. It affects a lot of other funding streams. Through here, and for the public to see, you know, there's obviously lots of different means that the public can get the word out as well, through Facebook, through Instagram, through Twitter, and hashtag 2020 Census. And this data was pulled from the U.S. Census webpage yesterday, so it shows Virginia as a whole. So Virginia as a whole, up to March 31st, the response rate was 40.3%. And if you look at this map, there's different colors reflecting what percentage of those localities have had reporting up to this point. And you can see Fluvanna County right here, right next to Almerall. We're in the yellow, which means we've been up with all the others that are in yellow up into the 40 to 50% participation range in the census so far. It would be nice to see Fluvanna get above everyone else in every other county and get ahead of the game and get the census done. And I think, you know, while individuals are at home and have the stay-at-home order, it would be good to get out there and make sure that everyone gets signed up for the census through the online method. And if you see right here, this just kind of shows Fluvanna County, which again, showing here, we're at 43.4% through March 31st participation rate. So just encourage the public and encourage everyone else to make sure you get the word out about Census Day and getting registered for the U.S. Census. And just one other thing. So the Zion Crossroads elevated storage tank painting has begun finally. And I'm not sure, Callie, Ms. Harris drives by it every day. Is it done?
Yes, it is all blue.
So it's all blue now. So this was a few days ago when they're painting it. So the tank is all blue. And they'll be reaching out, the firm, the contractor that's working on the tank will be reaching out to county to work on the logo at some point to make sure the positioning of it's correct. obviously we're gonna put, there we go, see?
Very good.
All blue. We're gonna position, obviously, the logo on the tank, so it's kind of faces towards Zion's Crossroads, kind of, you know, looking at the Louisa Tower tank. There's this kind of position towards us. We're gonna kind of angle ours, position towards them, so it's kind of pointing towards 15 and 250.
You know the problem with the tank now?
What's up?
We don't have anything to put in it.
Once
rectify that situation November.
Okay.
By November, that situation
by November
will be rectified.
But we're gonna have a great looking tank, Mr. Weaver.
Yes.
And so, just moving forward, like I said, just some of the next upcoming Board of Supervisors meetings. Obviously, with what's going on, we're gonna have to determine, you know, how we move forward. But right now we have scheduled the public hearing for the FY21 budget and this calendar year 20 tax rate for next Wednesday, April 8th at 7 p.m. in the Morris Room. And we are supposed to adopt the budget, have a regular meeting and adopt the budget on April 15th at 7 p.m. If something happens and the board doesn't adopt the budget on April 15th, we nominally put April 22nd in there. And then we just have some regular meetings in May and March, some couple meetings in May. Obviously, with what's going on, we're going to have to monitor it that week by week to see how the meetings move forward. Obviously, today the board adopted some new policies for holding business and operating with continuity of government. So even I would imagine if we move forward and we are not able to have a meeting where quorums, you know, a physical quorum is possible here, we could still hold county government operations and continuity of business moving forward. So, but we'll have to determine how that is. I can tell you when we're talking about the budget, obviously there's a lot of things up in the air right now as far as revenues, tax rates, you know. There's some of our neighbors have decided to push back adopting their budgets. Once we get into the budget piece of this, we'll get into the weeds a lot more as far as revenues, projections, what everyone else is doing. But those are just some things that we're going to have to just really kind of play week by week at this point. But as it stands, with what the board approved, we can still move forward with continuity of operations and hold electronic meetings. So if the board has any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. If not, I'll hand it back to the chair.
Thank you, sir. Do appreciate it. And I know that
hello.
Yes, ma'am. We hear you.
Am I on?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Booker.
Okay. I have a question. All right. I have a question about the census. Was there a letter that's supposed to have gone out to the homes? Anything from the Census Bureau?
Yeah, Mrs. Booker, I think there was two letters, and when I was reading, two letters and a postcard that should have gone to residences at this point already.
Okay, yes. I don't remember receiving anything.
You can.
I'm sure I probably.
Well, and like I said, the good thing is the public can do it online, too. That's the beauty of it. I did mine online when I was sitting there eating dinner one night. So it doesn't take long, and it's pretty quick.
Moselle, you have the same problem I do.
I'm going to do mine online.
Yep.
All right. I have several cards, but I haven't received the form yet.
You won't.
Right.
It's online.
I won't receive the form?
Sir.
It'll give you a number that you punch into the thing when you go online. It'll say, here's your number. You go to the website that it says to go to, punch in that number,
people,
and then do your residence. And
now, what may happen as time goes
on? But what about people don't go online?
Ms. Harrison, do you know most about
the telephone? Can they do it on their telephone?
Well, Ms. Harris is going to help us out.
Yep.
So in the letter and on the postcards, there is a number on there that you can call, and they will mail a form to you.
But I called them.
You did call them and let them know?
Yes, but I couldn't get through.
So they're probably working from home too.
Right.
But if you haven't responded by, I think it's
April the 15th, it said.
Is that what it's April 15th?
They were going to send out the forms if they haven't heard from
you. Yep.
and then send somebody door to door.
Yeah,
that will be till after the end of May.
Yeah, there's
after the forms go.
There's now with obviously the COVID-19. Obviously, with what's happening with the virus, they've pushed some of those dates back. So if you go on there, they try and keep the website up to date for if there's any delays or anything like that, or just out of abundance of caution, they may move those dates back too. But you can definitely go through the website, and they have lots of information on there.
All right.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
I have something I want to share this with you all. I have been doing conference calls with all nonprofit agencies who are serving our community, keeping up with the needs in the community and how they're being handled, how they are handling the adults in the community. We're working on children and schools and that such thing. Of course, the schools are totally in charge of that. But I have been pleased with what our nonprofit people have been doing. Region 10 has been continuing to serve people with substance abuse. I've also talked with Lafayette School. They're serving their children. They are doing Zooming, or they are doing FaceTime. Social services has a box set up outside. There are people are working. People can call in. They can get SNAP. Matha, Sarah Hanks, and Tamika Albright Braveheart, who is a recently appointed board to Matha, has put the groundwork down for us. The food Macro Food Pantry has been feeding people. People have donated funds to E.W. Thomas and order for Bertha and Cassie to order food. So I think next Monday we will have another call through. We've even talked to people who are working with veterans. So I just wanted you to know that as a board member, I'm trying to keep up with the agencies that we finance through our budget, and to make sure that people with the least, with the greatest need are also being served.
Thank you, ma'am. We do appreciate it. I saw your email the other day, and I saw you had that written in there. That's another thing where we need to do a good job of going around and checking on our neighbors. Keeping our distance, but making sure that we're checking in on the elderly. And that's just something, the new way of business, I guess, is the best way to put it. Thank you, ma'am. All right, I will now open the first round of public comment. I know we have one comment out. Do you want me to read this, or?
I don't necessarily know that it's necessary to read it, but so what I'll say, obviously we have the first round of public comments, but due to the that this is not a public meeting and we're kind of working way out through the virtual meeting, we had sent out information earlier, and it was actually yesterday, that the meeting was not going to be a public meeting, public was not going to be here, but we encouraged those members of the public that had comments, they could email them, they could send them through My Two Cents, etc. So we did receive one public comment, and I provided, we emailed that comment to the board, and we provided the board with the most recent hard copy of that as well. We will put that comment in the public record and in the minutes, so it'll be reflected.
I would suggest that you identify the person,
sure,
and the general substance.
Yep. Comment. This basically is come from Miss Patty Raynard out of Broken Island. She's talking about the tax rate and just trying to do as best we can to keep the tax rate as low as possible for those that are being affected by the pandemic.
Yes, I read it also.
Yes, sir. I mean, that just kind of sums it up generally. Yep. Do the best we can to keep the tax rate as low as we can to
not put any more burden on people than we have.
Exactly. To lessen the burden on people.
Yep. The actual contents of the comment itself will be in the minutes.
All right. And that's the only one that we have, so I will now close the first round of public comment. Next, we have no public hearings. Next, we will move forward with our action matters. First action matter up is D, FY20 Bank Franchise Tax Refund for Branch Banking and Trust Company for tax years 2012 to 2014. Ms. Twisdale.
Okay, Eric, I guess
if
you'll click on the brief there.
Hang on just a second. Ms. Eager and Mrs. Booker, can y'all hear Ms. Twisdale?
Did you have a brief?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
okay, just one.
I heard a little bit.
Ms. Twisdale, you might want to just walk up closer to the table, ma'am.
It's in BOS. It's in the packages.
Okay.
Oh, I know.
I can't hear.
We're having a snafu electronically right now, ma'am. So we're just trying to find the
bottom.
Where is it?
What bank franchise.
And it is
right
D.
There you go.
Okay. All right, you go on the next one. This is FY20 BB&T Bank Franchise Tax Refund. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, great. Fluvanna County receives bank franchise tax revenue through the state of Virginia each year for banks that do business in the county. BB&T filed revised tax returns in 2016, which was in the period of time they had to file these. And they've kind of been dragging through the state, I guess, being reviewed. Ultimately, the tax commissioner did come back and say that they had overpaid their fees. And all localities and cities, municipalities in the state that receive these bank transfer fees from BB&T are being required to refund their local portion that was an overpayment that came to us. Normally, when we do a refund, we would refund it out of revenue because revenue is normally within the same year. Because this is so old, we're having to go to BOS contingency and ask for the money to pay for it because there is no current revenue to refund it out of. This is an old deal.
It goes back to 2012.
2012 through
which 2014. Which to me is absurd.
Right. Yeah.
You and Ms. Booker were the only ones on the board then.
Yeah. The tax commissioner, this is his conclusion, that just says that we, unfortunately, all of us need to refund this money. And then you go to the next slide, if you would. And then the amount that Fluvanna County is, that they're asking for, you can see on the screen for 12, 13, and 14, is $32,954. This is due by May 1st. That's the reason we're holding it in this meeting. It is something that we do have to get to them by May 1st. This isn't something we have an option to do. Mr. Payne's reviewed it, the Commissioner of Revenue's reviewed it, the Treasurer's reviewed it. We pretty much beat it to death, and we don't have any options here, so this is something that we're having to do.
You mean we can't hold it for 8 years?
No, we can't.
And a lot of localities went back, and they were kind of disputing it and then trying to fight it because, you know, the 32,000 for us is big, but if you can see, I mean, Fairfax County has to refund $1.5 million.
Now,
so.
The good news is we don't have to pay any interest on this money because that could have been painful.
Yeah.
This is just the amount that we actually received that we are refunding.
And that whole amount came to $3,679,000 in
money.
Refunds. Yes. Clear back that far away.
Yeah, he's getting the bonus.
Crazy.
Yep. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Never stops.
Alrighty, thank you very much. Are there any questions from the board? Ladies, do y'all have any questions?
No, thanks.
Alrighty. Hearing no questions, I will now. Do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a budget transfer from FY20 BOS contingency to the FY20 Board of Supervisors budget for a BB&T bank franchise tax refund in the amount of $32,954. For the tax years 2012 through 2014, per the Commonwealth of Virginia Department of Taxation.
Second.
Motion's made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Weaver. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
Aye.
Yes, ma'am. I got you.
Got you twice.
Yes, ma'am. Alrighty. The next one, action matter, is FY21 Employee Health Insurance Plan. Ms. Rice.
What do you want me to pull up first, Ms. Rice?
I think you can probably just pull a slide up.
the brief or the or just one of the documents? Do you want the termination or the or the? We should probably do the termination first.
Yeah, we can talk through. Actually, do you have the health plan
You have
slide?
It, number one.
I do.
Let's do the health plan slide.
Okay. Let's go back.
Yep, that one. Okay. So during the FY21 budget preparations and planning, we went out for proposals for our employee health insurance. We did have three proposals come back. Our current carrier, Cigna, came back with a 19.47% increase. BPA came back with a 1.3% increase. And then the local choice, which is the governmental pool here in Virginia, came out with a 21.74% decrease over our premiums from last year. And so the board has indicated that they would like to switch over to Anthem, the local choice, for this upcoming FY21 fiscal year as far as the health insurance goes. In order to do that, we'll need to do two different things. The first thing would be to provide Cigna with notice that they will no longer be our carrier. And that provision allows for 30 days notice, written notice, and there's a letter drafted in the packet for you to look at. That was looked at by our attorney's office as well. And then part two would be there's an adoption agreement that would need to be signed with the local choice, and that is a deadline of May 1st to be able to join back in to that health plan.
So just a couple things for the board to remember. So this doesn't mean, now the board has decided on an option to go with the Anthem health plan, but by the board saying we want to terminate with Cigna and we want to move forward with Anthem, that just means we're getting our application in and we're moving forward. So within the next week or two, if the board decided that they wanted to make any changes, hypothetically, they could. But this is just allowing us to get the paperwork in. We have to notify Anthem within a certain period of time.
60 days, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 60 days. So this allows us to start moving forward. And then if the board, if they want to stay where they are or they want to tweak what's there, they have that option at this point. But this just allows us to move forward with Anthem. So.
Okay. Great. Are you ready for a motion?
I am ready for a motion.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve discontinuation of Fluvanna County's current Cigna four-tier health, dental, and vision plans effective on the expiration date of June the 30th, 2020.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion second. Made by Mr. Weaver. Seconded by Mr. O'Brien. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker? Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Gotcha, ma'am.
Aye.
And chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
Just one thing to let the board know, as Mrs. Booker and Mrs. Eager are there, there is a slight delay in what's occurring, what they hear versus, yeah.
Real bad.
Yeah. There's a slight delay, so just to let you know.
2-second delay.
Yep.
Next, y'all get to listen to me hopefully not butcher her name too bad. F.
Oh, we still got motion.
We have another.
Oh, I'm sorry, the second motion. Do we have a second motion?
Yes.
I move that the Board of Supervisors accept the proposal, the Local Choice Anthem TLC health insurance plan, effective July 1st, 2020, and authorize the county administrator to execute the TLC program adoption agreement and memorandum of understanding.
Second.
Motion's made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Mr. Weaver. Mrs. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien? Yes, ma'am.
Aye.
And chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Now we'll move forward with presentations. F, VDOT, secondary six-year plan review and discussion. Ms. Bethel Kefialu. Capiallo. I told you, I'm getting better. Oh, she brought back up. I'm getting worried.
Let's do this. We'll have you sit. Pull up a seat right over here. Just sit close to the microphone, and I'll move forward with everything for you.
I've also got hard copies. Do you want hard copies of the work, the packet?
No. Do you want one, Mr. Weaver?
We might need something sometime to look at it. That might be a good idea. We usually get a copy, so.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Probably get lost in all my other stuff, but I look for it.
All right. Well, I've printed too many then. All right. Yeah, I'm just going to review the packet with you guys and walk through, you know, any questions that you have for the next fiscal year. So let's go to the third page, next page. So this is the draft plan. So the FY 2020 to 2021, that's going to be next year. And then the last row, the 2025 to 2026, is what we're expecting for the FY 26 fiscal year. So we're expecting another allocation of about $96,000. But we have, at this point, no clue what the budget is going to be for that next allocation. It hasn't been approved yet. Usually it isn't approved until after the public hearing. So we can't really speak to that right now, but really what we want to focus on for you guys is to plan what your priority is going to be for the secondary six-year plan. So that's what we'll kind of talk about today.
The state sales tax, will that help on this in the future? Will more funds come over to us with the sales tax?
The online sales tax.
Gasoline tax.
Yes, sir.
Well,
there's going to be two raises in that within the next 2 years. So I'm just curious how that works in.
I'm not entirely sure. So there are two different types of funding that you guys get. There's, if you want to go back one slide, it's the Telefee funds and the district grant unpaved. The district grant unpaved is based on the number of unpaved roads you have in the county. So that's why that allocation is so low, because you have very few unpaved roads still in the county. And the Telefee funds is based on a fee that we receive from telecommunication companies for being in our, you know, VDOT easement across the state, across the county. So I'm not really sure entirely what, you know, how that'll affect the sales tax, but I can ask and look into it.
Gasoline tax.
The gas tax, yeah.
I think it's already been approved.
I'm not sure. Okay.
Mr. Dahl, this is Trish.
Yes, Ms.
I don't see the presentation. It's just got F. Okay, can you put that up?
It's not in the meeting.
We're trying to work on it right now. The technical whiz kids just walked in and their heads were shaking. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you doing the screen, right? Or are you doing just a slideshow? Go that right there. Well, click on that.
Yeah, but that's just the PDF. Oh. So if we do this, that's what's.
That's good.
You see, Miss Eager?
Yep.
Okay. You're the man.
Yes, I can see.
Yes.
Good. Well, thanks everyone for bearing with us. This is our first. First live meeting, so we're working out the kinks a little bit here.
And it's working well.
Okay.
Yeah.
You go to the next slide?
Yes, let's go to the slide.
Okay.
You might see if you can turn the page.
Rotate.
I think right click, maybe. Rotate left.
Thank you. Oops.
Yeah.
One more time.
There we go.
All right, okay. So this is the current plan from last year's public hearing. I just want to, again, the
you have the TELEC fee funds and the district grant unpaved. The district grant unpaved can only be used for unpaved roads in the county with vehicles per day of 50 and higher. And then the TELEC fee funds can be used for, and like, this is all secondary roads. TELEC fee funds can be used for, you know, any secondary road, paved or unpaved, and it doesn't matter if it's what the vehicles per day is on the road. You can go to the next. Just wanted to point out, so currently there are four, I think it's actually five projects. So the South Boston 600-618 intersection improvements, that's still on the plan, scheduled. The schedule is going on. It's on schedule is what I'm trying to say. We are applying for Smart Scale funding for that to cover some additional costs. The Main Street survey is still in progress. The Stage Junction Road survey has been completed and we're reviewing that right now. The Middle Fork Road Rural Rustic has been completed and the Old Fork Lane was fully funded last year. So once, you know, for the next fiscal year, you're only really going to have two current projects. It'll be the Old Fork Lane and the South Boston intersection improvements. And so you will have some kind of bandwidth maybe to add a project if you guys would like to for the next fiscal year. And then in the next slide, these are their balance entry accounts. It's all telefee money, so it can be used on any secondary road in the county, paved or unpaved. This is from last year's plan, so the numbers will be updated for the next year because the county did transition, I think it was $125,000 to the 53618 Smart Scale project. And so the total amount that you've got for the balance entry right now is $126,325.
Is that after the 125?
Yes.
Okay. So if remember the board, when we came back, when the bids came back on the
618
roundabout, they were a little short in what it was. So I came to the board, and some of these funds, the telefee funds, were transferred to that project to make sure it had lighting and everything. So, but we will still have the 126 available. Yeah.
Yep. And then for the rest of it, I can rotate it again.
Yeah.
This is really just for your own situational awareness. These are all the secondary roads in the county. To add a project to the list, you'd really be focusing on unpaved, probably, if you want to do a rural rustic project. So you could probably just skip to the close to the end.
But. I was going to ask, I'm not sure. Is it a state road that goes down into Pleasant Grove that's paved all the way to the cul-de-sac?
It is. That's a VDOT road.
That's VDOT. I wonder if we could extend that down to the baseball field and put the cul-de-sac down to the baseball field.
We've talked to VDOT a lot about that quite a few times.
When you talk about the 50 cars per day, that's an average. It doesn't have to be 50 every day, does it? Because we have so many go through there on Saturdays and Sundays that it would have a 50-car average.
Right.
Now, not right now, but I mean, on a normal Saturday and Sunday, we have 300 cars go down through there each day.
Point.
If we could extend that down.
Yeah, you can see right here it says Pleasant Grove Drive.
I thought I remembered somebody saying that would be if we had a rural rustic road.
Yep.
That if we could extend that another quarter of a mile. It's just we got that's where our baseball
end.
And our soccer fields are.
So you'd want to extend it.
If we just extended it maybe a half a mile.
Because a majority of the traffic goes past that cul-de-sac where it dead ends at. Yeah. That goes way back to the end where the fields are.
It
where
goes the barn to the back end of the fields back there.
Well, I'm wondering is there an end of state maintenance sign? Because it might be that beyond that cul-de-sac, it's not a state road.
Well, I
didn't
know
if we have to go down another route.
Get that adopted in. Just think that way. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Because we do have a monstrous amount of traffic going down through there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness.
Well, I'll look into it.
I have a question.
Yep.
I heard from a man named Quinter Garrison. He lives on Blue Ridge Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And he was hoping that there could be a right turn lane off of 250 onto Blue Ridge Lane.
Right before Oliver Creek, between the prison and Oliver Creek.
I think that for right turn lane, our traffic engineers would have to do a right turn lane analysis, do some counts, things like that. But if you could send me maybe an email.
That's 250, so it's going to be a lot of traffic.
Yeah, send me an email.
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic, and right now they're, you know, it's on the side where the water pipe is being put in, and he thought it might be a good time because after the water pipe is in, then the turn lane could go in.
Okay.
Mrs. Eager, I'll send an email to Bethel tomorrow reminding her about that. Take a look into that.
Okay. Okay, later I'll give you his phone numbers as well.
Right. That sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Basically, we want to look at the unpaved. Yep. Yeah. So this slide has got all of the roads that are unpaved in the county. And so if you wanted to add a project to the secondary six-year plan, you'd really be working off of this list and the next one, which has the qualifying unpaved. Because to use the district grant unpaved funds, it has to be over 50 vehicles per day. But a lot of these counts are from 2014, so we can always do a more recent count to see if the traffic count has increased in the last 6 years. So this is kind of what we're working with. If you wanted to add a project to the plan, I think that VDOT's recommendation is to not add a plan and or to not add a project and instead to bank some of your funds into one of our balance entry accounts. So that you can use them for, you know, whatever, whether it's, you know,
doing. Old Fork's the one we're doing right now.
Old Fork Lane is the one that's on the plan right now. Yep. I guess anything highlighted is what's currently on the plan. Yes.
Are you going to get any accurate traffic count under the circumstances now?
I asked about that, and they think that they feel confident that they can get traffic counts.
Because
in
there's
time
a lot of cars
you.
Just not on the road that ordinarily
well,
would
that's
be.
True, too. Mm-hmm.
If we're requesting something, we may want to wait a month or two for traffic counts, if that's the case.
At least go after June 10th.
Yes.
Right.
I have a correction on this. You have White Hill Road. It's called White Hall.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any, you know, roads that you have been thinking about paving
in
the county?
We talked about Turner Road for a while. I mean, that's you've done traffic studies on that.
Okay.
The two county road, I believe, if I'm correct, that's the one up in the northeast corner. Is only about three or four houses down that road. It's not very long. Mm-hmm.
And this, when you say traffic count, is this to and from each day? So if you mm-hmm. got.
It might be a time to do the traffic count on Turner Road again.
Okay.
You know, later on, because they've added about four or five houses on that road. If it was paved, there would be more people using it
probably
to cut through.
What about with what's going on at Greenville Bluff? Are there any opportunities there with the ash?
You mean with the traffic?
Greenville Road looks pretty. Bremo Road, VDOT did a nice job repairing on Bremo Road. As far as I can see, I've been down there.
West Bottom as well.
Mike, have you been?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
West Bottom Road as well looks pretty good.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
There may be future conversations with Dominion, depending on what they're doing with mm-hmm. with their facility down there.
Right. I mean, so this is really, at this point, it's kind of the board's decision whether or not they would like to add a project. And they can, if you have a road that you'd like us to do traffic counts, like I've written down Turner Road, we can do that and get back to you with cost estimate for the project. Again, the expectation is about $96,000 for the next fiscal year's allocations. And, you know, our recommendation is to put that those funds into a balance entry account, and, you know, and at a later date you can decide where to allocate those funds.
I'm just sitting here, I'm going back to the Pleasant Grove Road. If we could, I don't know what it would take to get a half a mile of that allocated into the state program. Mm-hmm. To get that one would be the highest need I would know of all of them.
Well, it could be possible if it is a state road, then we
can't hear you.
Can you hear us, Ms. Booker?
Ms. Booker, can you hear us now?
That's coming. It's in and out.
Yes, ma'am. Yours is too. I'm not sure what's going on with the connection.
I can hear you, Mike, but the others, I hear.
You're telling me I'm loud again?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
So, it is. If it is a state road,
yes.
then we can go ahead and take a look at if it qualifies for the Rural Rustic Program. If not, then it might qualify for the for a Rural Addition Program, in which case you could use the telefee funds to pave it.
Okay. So we looked into it and talked about doing it. They were going to try to do a grant, and then that fell through.
Okay.
That is definitely the most traveled dirt road in Louvanna County. And I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I probably get more complaints about people.
Yeah,
people going down there, and we're doing a little addition to the playground, so it'll just add more to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I can look into it and get back to you.
Thank you so much.
What's possible. And then once, you know, project selected and all of that, we'll have to do a public hearing and put together a resolution in time, like by June.
You have to do it by June, okay. Okay. We will, Caitlin will be in contact with you, and we'll work out how we're going to do that with the world of COVID-19.
I completely understand. Yeah. And actually, if you do think that it would be difficult to do that quickly, we can let our central office know, and they can work with us.
Push it back a little
bit.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming out. And Mr. Shiflett, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to leave you out. I forgot to call your name.
It's okay. Daryl could not make
this
it.
This is not Daryl.
This is not Daryl.
My other brother, Daryl.
This is Aaron French.
Thank you for coming out.
Yep,
you brought your bodyguard. It's a rough place out here.
It's my bodyguard sometimes, my driver other times.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank y'all for coming out. We do appreciate it. Thank you for what y'all do. We will now move forward with the consent agenda. G, minutes of March 11th, 2020. H, minutes of March 18th, 2020. I, Child Abuse Prevention Month Proclamation. J, EMSMC Incorporated Amendment 1, Ms. Toller. K, CRMF Boiler Tube Replacement at Courts Building. L, CRMF Safety Handrail for MACA Sidewalk. Is there anything we want to pull?
I just want to make a comment.
Yes, sir.
Basically, on K and L, they fixed a boiler tube replacement, and I just wanted to comment that was in-house, which I think that we're starting to save some money there, because I think that probably would have cost twice as much as what they did. You also had pictures on that.
Yep.
I thought that was very good. And the same goes for L. You had pictures on that, so it really identifies it pretty well what you're doing.
Good. We'll continue to do that if that helps the board.
Yeah, and that's all I have. Unless you're ready
for a motion. Thank you so very much. All right. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the consent agenda G through L.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Oh, sorry. Got a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Yeah. Mr. Weaver?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Mr. O'Brien?
Aye, aye.
And chair votes aye, motion passes 5-0. All right, is there any unfinished business?
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, if you remember before, as I said, to just kind of be efficient with our time and eliminate having to be out and about more than we really need to. You know, we thought we would move up the budget work session that was scheduled for 7 p.m. and get into that discussion for under the unfinished business and kind of start to go through the discussion.
What's we're okay doing this?
Well, yeah, we could bring.
Yes, sir, and I think you, Mr. Dahl had suggested that you use this space to ratify your actions from your last meeting.
Yeah. Ah, that's true. So, do we have a motion to ratify our actions from the last meeting?
So made. Second.
We have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All are Ms. Eager? Or did they vote on this?
It would be.
No, is this just the three of us?
No, they can vote on it. Okay. They were present at the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. All righty. So, let's go ahead and go and get our budget work session.
Yeah, so let me just move forward through some slides
here.
Yes, ma'am?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am?
Eric, I just forwarded an email to Eric that should have come during public comment.
We will add that to the...
every board member.
We will add that to our previous comment, and we'll talk about that at the second public comment, ma'am.
All right.
So I guess what we'll go through first, Ms. Twisdale, do you want to kind of go through, we'll go through some revenue updates first, I guess?
Sure.
I'm good.
You stand?
Situation. We started looking at FY21 and FY20 revenues. The most recent sales tax estimate from the state came out on March 25th, and their estimate for sales tax is $1.9 million, and we had budgeted 1.8. Now, as to how much of this is taking into any of the virus situation is kind of up in the air at this point. It's early, and these are the most current estimates that we have. The recordation tax, we had budgeted $375,000. The state came back and said we probably end up with $116,000. The reason for that is they have taken 20% of the recordation tax and are diverting it to...
I'm hearing half of her report.
Maybe speak a little slower.
Okay, so they have taken half. They've taken half of the 40%.
Is it because I live?
I think your internet's not
12. The internet's been acting terrible at my house. I'm gonna guess that that's going on with your internet also, Ms. Booker.
Ms. Booker, do you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you fine. But okay. Then when Marianne, okay. I hear two or three words, and okay. Then nothing.
We'll speak up.
The recordation tax, we budgeted $375,000. The state is estimating we'll receive $116,187. The reason for that is they are diverting half of the recordation tax that they normally give to all the localities for transportation to Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads.
That's nice.
So, unfortunately, if their estimate is true, that cuts us by about 2/3 for recordation tax. So, with the current estimates that they're giving us, that leaves us with a deficit of about $156,000 that we had expected to receive. Now, again, these are estimates, and things are certainly subject to change based on the current conditions, and at this point, they can't tell us when they're going to give us updated numbers.
I mean, they do this, but I don't see how they can just come in and take an amount like that, when historically, that hasn't been done to my knowledge. I know. It just doesn't make sense.
So, So as COVID-19 is going around, and I think we kind of briefly discussed this at the last budget work session too, we had discussed, you know, what do we think, how is this going to affect our budget, how is it going to affect revenues, is it going to affect sales tax, is it going to affect anything else, is it going to affect people paying their personal property taxes or real estate taxes, does it affect the penalties and interest that they pay? So I'll let Mariana talk a little bit about just kind of some of the real estate and personal property stuff, and then we've got a whole slide to kind of discuss some things that could or could not be affected and just some things you need to take into consideration.
So basically our FY21 real estate tax collection rate is calculated at 97.5%.
That's what we budgeted.
Our personal property collection rate, we budgeted at 94.5%. Should we decide that we want to lower those expectations, every 1% that we reduce that collection rate is going to affect our collections by that much.
Basically, if you reduce both collection rates by 1%, you're basically affecting 1 cent.
Now, with that, I will tell you, and I understand this is a different situation because of what's going on, but in FY19, based on our budgeted amounts, we collected 100% of real estate tax. Now, maybe we didn't budget enough, but we collected 100% of our budgeted amount, and we collected 123% of our delinquent real estate taxes that we budgeted.
So we always budget for delinquent amounts, and because you just never know. There were some years where I think we budgeted $300,000, and I think we got in like $180,000 one year. So we are always being conservative with what we expect to come in from delinquent real estate taxes and personal property taxes. And if we do better than that, then that's great. Then that just kind of goes back into fund balance to build our fund balance up.
Personal property, we collected in 19, 98%. And delinquent personal property in 19, we collected 203%. So I'm not necessarily recommending that we reduce these collection rates. I understand things could happen. Where we're at right now for FY20, for the first half of FY20 real estate, we collected 98% of that tax. 98. For delinquent real estate for the year, we're at 92.9. For personal property for the first 6 months, we're at 92.9, and for delinquent personal property for the year, we're at 113%. So we've already met our budget for FY20 for our delinquent personal property halfway through the year.
Now, my one question would be this, and I brought this up to you earlier or yesterday, I can't remember. Would we want to extend the period? The due date is June 5th.
June 5th. We had discussed this with Mr. Payne's office too, and I know they've been doing some research on it of possibly, you know, whether it's we leave the tax due date at June 5th, but maybe don't have any penalties, maybe until June 30th or something like that. Obviously, if we can get payments in this fiscal year, that's going to be a benefit to this fiscal year. But we understand what's happening. You know, what we have here is we have a list of all revenues that we think could be affected by what's going on right now, and probably more so. I would see some of these revenues being affected in the current fiscal year that we're in, fiscal year 20, because if you think about that, we've got June 5th as our tax collection date, so we've only collected one half of taxes for the year so far. Now, I think real estate, and this is just my assumption, I think for real estate taxes, primarily, a lot of people have mortgages on their homes, and generally escrows that real estate taxes are going to be collected. So I think in light of, and unfortunately, there may be some folks that are out of work right now because of that. Now, would the real estate taxes be affected as much as the personal property taxes? I think not, because of the escrow component of that. But you certainly, if individuals are you know, having to choose between feeding my family and paying real estate taxes, I'm going to feed my family. But I mean, you know, these are just a lot of different things we have to take into account. And I think some of these, as I said, could have an effect on fiscal year 21, but I think some of them may, in the more immediate future, maybe they're going to affect our current budget year two.
But I'm more worried about our current year.
But we're not talking about one of the main sources of taxes. And let me read this here in the paper. I'm more concerned about not so much this year, but the next year. And that's what this alludes to. It says that Richmond starts off. Virginia top financial official says the state is likely to lose at least $1 billion in revenue in each year of the pending two-year budget. And that's the best scenario. And it goes on to say, the pessimistic alternative would reduce state revenue by about $1 billion in the first year and $2 billion in the second, compared to the standard economic outlook adopted by the advisory group of the business leaders and legislators.
Now here's where, that's true, but here's where we have an advantage. Let's take Williamsburg, for example. Williamsburg gets 50% of their revenue from meals tax, tourism tax,
transient occupancy tax.
That's where 50%, that came out today, that's where 50% of their revenue comes from. We aren't driven by those revenues.
The only time it's good to be 97.5%.
But honestly, this is, I mean, a lot of localities that rely on meals tax, hotel tax.
People. Tourist in general.
Yeah, people. All that stuff. I mean, people tax.
Retail tax.
Yes.
I mean, we don't have.
But do you think the state is going to give the school another $1 million next year?
So that's the thing. The state budget will be, the state budget is in flux and has not been approved yet. Now, you know, I'm not sure how we move forward with some of this. We've got a deadline to approve a budget by. As I stated earlier, there's some localities that are trying to punt their budget for a while. There's some localities that are saying, you know, we're going to approve our last year's budget and just keep it going, and then we'll readdress it with, you know, maybe mid-year or something like that. You know, from the state piece, I don't think a lot of our, from the county side, and I'm leaving the schools out of it at this point, from the county side, fortunately, we don't rely on an overly large abundance of state revenues that come in. You know, our biggest piece is our local revenues, and as we said, it is fortunate for the one time that we do not have other real revenue levers to pull from, because we maybe will be a little more insulated from what's happening right now because of that.
Our businesses are still running, our bigger businesses. They're cutting trees, they're still making power over to power plant, and our grocery stores
are still open.
They're working to death.
No, that does not negate that we have some businesses that are struggling, and there may be some businesses that are out of business right now because of that.
They
had to close their doors, yes.
They.
But, you know, so this list right here is just some of those items that we think could be affected in this fiscal year. And as Ms. Twisdale said, I think because of what's going on, and it doesn't mean that things won't be affected in 21, but if when the coronavirus subsides and the public tries to get back to some sense of normalcy, I think people will be swarming to get out of their house and doing what they can, but it still doesn't negate that there's going to be businesses that maybe won't recover from this.
And I think what we're going to see, it seems to me what we would possibly see is taxes that are due June 5th that currently right now people can't pay. Hopefully this thing won't go on forever. And once it subsides and people do go back to work, at that point, they will hopefully have the ability to then pay those taxes.
Which would
That's
be in the next fiscal
year.
That's
moving those taxes from FY20 to FY21. So I'm worried about, I'm not worried about 21, but I'm more concerned about the immediate 20, that there's really nothing we can do about that at this point, but ride the wave and see what happens kind of thing. So I feel like we'll collect taxes that were due in 20 and 21 that may help cover a little bit of the stuff in 21 we don't get.
Do you think we should give relief if someone is late and charge them no interest?
I would say until the end of the month of June. If they get it in before the end of the month of June.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And we can revisit that, I mean...
Well, I would say...
Keep it as June 5th.
I think you could make it a little bit more generic by just saying, you know, within 30 days of the shelter-at-home order being rescinded. Because, I mean, it could go on for another 6 months.
What they're talking about is we want to try and get it before the end of the fiscal
year.
And if we can do that, I mean, we can always revisit this and say we're still not going to charge interest, but that's when we'd like to get it done by.
Right. Yeah,
so we have money.
Do we have the authority to say we're not going to charge
it? Yeah, that's up to the treasurer.
Yeah, so we don't have that authority.
Well, I'm sure the treasurer would respect your view.
She had brought that up to me as an option, so I think she would.
Okay.
I mean, I can't speak for her.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But she had brought that up, so I think she would be on board with it. She and I have talked about it.
Okay. This has been discussed with the commissioner and treasurer, kind of, you know, especially regarding, you know, how and when are we going to approve our budget. Say, for instance, that we couldn't approve our budget in a certain period of time. It takes them some time to get all the bills out and get everything going. So let's just say that generally the tax due date is June 5th. Well, say the bills don't go out until, I'm just using a random date, say they don't go out until the last, you know, week of May. Well, a 1 to 2 week turnaround time isn't necessarily fair to have a June 5th. So then you would back that up. So we've had these discussions regarding that. But in addition, you know, we need to look at the bigger picture too, that with the stay at home order and some individuals not working, and, you know, we need to take that into consideration, that we may want to bump back the penalty and interest period for those individuals. And I don't know if it's, you know, 30 days from the original date of June 5th, whether it's 30 days, as Mr. O'Brien suggested, from the governor's stay-at-home order, or some other arbitrary date that we want to come up with.
Who makes that decision? Who has that authority?
That is for treasurer.
Treasurer. So we can want all we want to, but if they don't want to do it.
I would think from the board standpoint, if the board had a recommendation for what they would recommend, I think that,
in other words, a recommendation made to the treasurer.
Made to the treasurer, I think the treasurer would take that into serious consideration. So, you know, we're kind of talking about two things. We are talking about the budget discussion for FY21, and we could see some changes with the revenues. We are certainly also concerned with FY20. Obviously, FY20, you know, how are we going to pay for things? You know, we had discussed in my proposed budget, I had using fund balance to pay for some CIP items. Those items were taken out of being used for fund balance, and then it was put in to use debt service to pay for that, for those CIP items. Depending on how the board wants to go with that, you know, I'm more concerned with the revenues coming in this year and where we end up with fund balance at the end of fiscal year 20.
And the revenues next year.
Correct. Right. I'm also concerned about that, but how we end up in this fiscal year. So,
I think we should do our very best to keep our expenses as low as possible.
Yeah.
Even if it means putting things off, because this is such a uncertain time.
And we've talked about that as far as getting in touch with each department, and you know, obviously nobody's doing any training right now anyway because they can't travel, and you know, there are some things that departments could possibly not do in their operating budget. Unfortunately, most of their operating budgets are not real fluffy, so a lot of it is stuff that's kind of, you know, we have to continue with. You've got something weird up there.
Yeah, right? Mr. Chuck Winkler just entered the meeting.
Oh, okay.
Room,
so,
yeah.
So what I did do, Mr. Dahl, Mr. McIver, and I went back and we looked at our fund balance options for FY20 and things that we could possibly perhaps put off out of the CIP that would give us a little bit more money in fund balance. Right now we have $250,130 in the historic courthouse line, where we haven't really done any work on the historic courthouse because it turns out that really wasn't enough, and so we've kind of had that parked there to work on the historic courthouse. We have, Mr. Sheridan will be horrified to see this, but we have the paving at Pleasant Grove that's been sitting out there for a while that we haven't done anything with, because that really isn't enough to do that either. We have the cash funded ambulance that we have not purchased yet. We have the library and sheriff's potable water project that's honestly been out there for 5 years that's not been done. And Recoat, the middle school wastewater treatment plant's been out there since 2014 and hasn't been done. So if we were to, I guess for lack of a better word, cancel those particular projects, that would give us $658,130 we could possibly put back in fund balance to use as a little bit of a cushion against whatever's going to happen this year with our revenue.
Yeah, I mean, so to go, but so as Mrs. Eager said, to go back to, you know, we can't necessarily freeze all expenditures. You know, obviously the biggest part of the county's budget and the school's budget is personnel. So, you know, unless the county wanted to, and I'm not suggesting this in any means, furlough staff, that's the only, you know, big area. Now, if you want to put some money in and put some money back into fund balance as kind of a cushion, you could take those projects and potentially uncommit or unfund those and put them back into fund balance if the board's concerned about having a cushion or having a reserve. You know, we're definitely in some trying times right now, and they're a little uncertain. We're not sure how quickly this is going to pass with COVID-19, what it means for our revenues, what it means for our budget, what it means for our citizens for the current fiscal year, and much less going into fiscal year 21 as well. You know, I had a conversation with Mr. Winkler today. Mr. Winkler, are you on now?
He's muted.
No, he's not.
Okay. Well, So Mr. Winkler and I, we talked today too about, you know, obviously from the school standpoint, you know, they could be affected in fiscal year 20 as well as fiscal year 21. And, you know, Mr. Winkler, do you want to talk about what type of measures you're going through for fiscal year 20?
Okay, so for fiscal year 20, we were unable. We had a meeting scheduled tonight with the board, but we were unable to have it. We're moving towards a virtual platform as well. So given the parameters, I wasn't able to have the discussions that I needed to have. But our plan right now is to continue with payroll as it exists. But basically, any expenditures outside of those that are necessary, whatever category that they would be in, basically we're putting a freeze on those. We're going to continue to have order the things that we're absolutely going to need. An example of that would be if we move forward into next year, we're going to need, and I'm just throwing out this number, but you know, 200 bus tires. We're going to get those 200 bus tires, but where we had some lawn equipment, bigger ticket items, like we had a larger lawn tractor in our budget, we're not buying that at that time. And anything basically that we absolutely don't need to continue to do business, and we have to be cognizant of the fact of our special ed budget too. Within special ed, because it's a federally funded program, we have to meet what's called MOE, which is maintenance of effort. So we're cognizant of that, and we haven't seen any waivers come out from either the feds or the State Department, but we have to work within the means there. But the bottom line is we've done a cost analysis out from a payroll standpoint, what it would be to pay our people, and honestly, I won't say the majority of, but many of our folks are going above and beyond and working a lot of different hours to try to get, whether it's feeding the kids or making sure we're providing education to the kids and other types of services. We're trying to take care of our people, and then, as I said, look at whatever we can to get through the budget year. My biggest concern right now is sales tax.
Yeah, that's going to be down probably.
There's no question about it. So this year we're anticipating at least 2 months be affected. I'm actually more concerned about the effect of sales tax for next year, certainly as we begin the fiscal year. We have a lot of unknowns with our budget, not so much this year, but again, we have the caboose bill yet to come in. Our ADM, our average daily membership, is right on target, but what that's going to look like from the state level, all indications, and I'm on a conference call tomorrow morning with the state superintendent and the governor, is they're not trying to hit our budget this year or even next year but they can't promise us they're going to hold us harmless. Clearly, there's going to be some impact. It's just to what degree, we don't know yet.
I wonder if, with the state budget, if they're going to eliminate the raises in there.
That's I think that's Mr. O'Brien. I can hear that.
Yeah.
That's certainly on the General Assembly's mind. What we have heard right now initially is they're trying to leave those in there. I'm obviously hoping they do. The amount of new money that we got for the raises alone was, you know, right around $300,000. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure whether they're going to be able to leave that in or not.
So some things that the board could do. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of question marks. We could, as we move forward, we can either try and move through and approve, have a budget go forward that we think is realistic, based upon, you know, maybe we know some new projections for maybe some shortage of revenues, and then maybe we adjust from the county's budget accordingly. The school's budget, I mean, a big chunk of their budget is coming from new state revenue. Now, we could go forward and try and adopt a budget, and then between when the budget is adopted and prior to July 1, if we see that the state budget changes, the board could then go back and amend the budget, or we could push the budget adoption off further down the road until we know what the state's going to do. You know, the only thing with that is then that will affect what the commissioner and treasurer can do for getting taxes in for June 5th and the date that is. So, you know, we're kind of in a little bit of a conundrum here to how to move forward.
You know, I say we try to come up with a budget. And then if we have to come back and amend it. That way we can have everybody moving forward with whatever it is we've got. And if we have to make adjustments, we make adjustments.
Well, the other thing that comes to mind, too, is, you know, the fund balance is, of course, going to be affected. Now, granted, this is an emergency, and you could dip into your emergency mm-hmm. reserves, but we don't know what that's going to look like, correct? Mm-hmm. So having cushion inside the budget isn't necessarily a bad thing, because that gets returned to fund balance as well, too.
Yep.
So I think trying to have too lean of a budget in this kind of an environment is probably detrimental down the road, right? Just in my opinion, I mean, I think you're better off to have some extra cushion inside of it that gets back to fund balance. And of course, I'm still in favor of taking advantage of the low rates.
You're in favor of what?
Taking advantage of the low rates and to not use debt as opposed to use any fund balance right now for CIP items.
So, Ms. MacGyver, you were, and I'll just kind of tell you what some other units said there. Some other conference. She was on a conference call with a bunch of other localities and finance folks today. I want you just kind of give what
discussion.
Yeah, what others are.
Otherwise, they're not going to.
Let me just add one more thought.
Yep.
The biggest concern would be around the raises.
Yep.
Right? Because, you know, obviously, if the state doesn't provide the raises, and we're looking at providing raises to county employees, that creates that mismatch that we've looked at
yep.
before. So that would certainly be my biggest concern in terms of creating that unequal environment.
Yep.
So I sat in on a Zoom meeting this afternoon with finance directors, administrators, and various finance people throughout the state, from small localities up to localities as big as Charlottesville was in on it, Virginia Beach was in on it, Roanoke, Lynchburg, and then there were some small areas like Amherst, Benton, I was in on it. So there was a wide range of communities in on it. Many of them are moving their public hearings to June. There's a couple places that are trying to adopt the budget that they currently have, carrying it forward, and then will amend later on. Almost all the localities that were in on the meetings are stopping all of their CIP spending now. Anything that they are going forward with, for the most part, is projects involving utilities, keeping infrastructure going. They've canceled all training. The majority of counties are thankfully not furloughing people. Most have been able to keep everybody on. They're postponing bond issuances. And I will say, Mr. O'Brien, almost everywhere has canceled any debt funding because of uncertainty. I'm trying to find out the other big things. There's a lot of discussions about schools. A lot of schools, they're concerned about loss of revenues for the schools. Trying to look and find the biggest other big things.
Well, and I will say this, that in the Richmond Times, there was one locality, was it Chesterfield?
Chesterfield County.
Chesterfield's furloughing 500 people because they rely 40% of their budget, you know, comes from like meals tax, transient occupancy tax. So again, there are some localities that are going to be hit very hard by this. And
real estate too, isn't it? Isn't that a highway?
But that's not being as affected as much.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to go through the whole foreclosure process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's efforts to not have that happen. So,
yeah. Generally, from the real estate, I mean, if there's a mortgage on the property, your mortgage holder is going to pay those real estate taxes. And so the real estate piece, that's usually you're a little bit insulated if you have a mortgage on there. I think, you know, the personal property could definitely be could be affected by individuals if you have a large population that is just out of work.
What's the total of our personal property? Is it
185
or 585? I don't
know. Oh, of the personal property
that we collect.
The revenue? Oh, I can.
Oh, it's 1 point.
No, it's in here. Let's go to this here. I'll tell you what we have for personal property.
I will say there were a few localities, thankfully only a few, that had furloughed some people, mostly part-time employees. And those were localities that rely on the meals tax, the transient occupancy tax, more those sorts of taxes. And there were several localities that is the majority of their funds.
So, Mr. O'Brien, between personal property, residential, personal property, business, and personal property for public utilities being like a Tenasca or Dominion or something like that, we get $7.2 million in personal property revenue.
Right.
So,
I was thinking of the business.
But a big portion of that is the utilities.
Sure.
That 7.2.
No, that's residential. Right. That's just... That your and I's cars and
right, I understand that
personal
property. I thought the Tenasca was a big check.
That's real estate.
Like
a different category.
Yeah. I thought that the utilities that still goes.
That's real estate because that's all real estate. So
that's when we talked about 94%.
Yep. So 7.2 million is personal property and you know obviously we have delinquent taxes that people may be catching up on. So I think. That is probably the revenue piece besides sales tax that we could see that would affect us.
15% hit or
something. Yeah. Let me see here. So just to kind of go back to the budget balance sheet, as the board remembers, we advertised the tax rate at 94.5 and kind of where we were, my budget was 93.5. Since my budget was proposed, we had some additional revenues, and then there were some additional things that the board put into the budget, including $269,000 for debt service for funding all of the fleet needs. Added in, let me go back up to the top. Added in an additional $66,000 for employee salaries above my 2% to 3%.
What did that amount to?
$66,000. Okay. Obviously, the big piece, there was the big insurance savings, which lowered from the original budget $425,000, keeping the insurance rates level. There was some money that the board put in for a sheriff's office pay adjustment. And then the other really kind of big one was the schools kind of came back, and their original request was $679,000, but kind of after the fact, they said they could make their numbers work at $392,000. So we added $392,000 back in there.
That's because they got an additional.
Correct.
All right. What would it look like if you went back to your original thing with the vehicle purchases? If we took the debt service off.
I think that's a good idea because I'd like to have a better idea of what the force really has and what they need. I don't think that we have a really good picture of that. So if we can put it off and do some research, I think it would be worth it.
This will allow us to do research, but we know next year will get worse, and I'd like to leave wiggle room, for lack of a better term, for next year.
I don't think we can go ahead with that.
Well, I mean, you had talked about, what was your original thing you were funding?
What I originally had.
His original plan. We went back to his original plan.
Well, my original plan was using fund balance about $1.1 million, and it funded about half the bus request, half the county fleet request, and it funded one of the fire and rescue vehicles. It did not fund a couple larger apparatus.
In my opinion, either you don't fund any vehicles, period. Yep. You know, just punt the CIP.
That again, Tony.
In my opinion, either you just punt the CIP for vehicles to next year, or you use debt. But to use fund balance right now is a mistake.
I agree.
You could also not fund the CIP right now, and then if things got better, say October, November, then we could come for a supplemental appropriation. Let's say the sheriff is out of cars. You know, we could come back with a supplemental appropriation for whatever.
That's a good point.
You know.
Sheriff, Sheriff, there was something y'all had to get the things in by a certain time.
They're past the date anyway.
We're past that date, and with them stopping manufacturing cars, I don't know what we're going to wind up buying to get wheels moving. It's going to be sad throughout the industry.
Right.
Yeah. As Ms. Twist,
we have to address that for next year. We're going to be behind for years to years to come.
I mean, we could go forward with a budget. You know, since we're talking about CIP and fund. None of the CIP requests that were funded out of, you know, fund balance or anything like that, and wait to see what happens. You know, if we get to July, August, September time frame, and you know, we see some type of rebound, or as we see what revenues are doing, you know, that's one thing, and especially too to see where we're ending up for this fiscal year as well.
What was your wedge for the debt servicing?
For all of that, it was $269,000.
So even if you leave that in the budget as it stands, don't fund the CIP, then you can get that back in fund balance if we do or don't go with debt. That's a pretty nominal amount there. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say it's nominal.
It is
still within the nature of, we have a budget that we're not really 100% sure what's going to happen with it. And so having flexibility inside that budget is a good thing.
And what we could do too, going back on that thing delaying, so we could move forward with a budget that does not include CIP, and then, you know, in 3-4 months into the year, let's just say that things improve drastically and we want to use fund balance for some reason, or we don't. Say we want to take out debt at that point. The board can do a budget amendment, and if you decide to do debt at that point, you could do it at that point. So we have options to do fund balance or debt even after we adopt this budget, if we were to adopt the budget without CIP.
You could always take the debt, and then you could take the wedge out if you wanted to, and then use debt and then include the wedge next year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in other words, you could use fund balance out of to pay the first installment on the debt.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying fund the debt. You're saying move forward with funding everything, fund the debt, but pay for the debt with fund balance.
No. What I'm saying is, if we do a supplemental budget, even if we didn't have, say, that $274,000 in the budget, let's say the board agrees that they don't want to do that for whatever reason, okay, then we come in October and we say, okay, we want to go ahead and do the supplemental, and we have the money there, but we're not going to pay out of fund balance for the entire amount. We would still look at whether debt makes sense, and then at that point in time, decide whether we're buying those vehicles.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
But you can take that first set of installment payments that are due for the debt and use that out of fund balance.
Yeah.
Right? That's not going to be that much.
Well, my biggest goal right now is with what's going on and with what's going on with people's pockets is to try and keep us as close to 92.5 as I can.
Or lower?
I don't know if we can go any lower, Ms. Ingram.
Here's the, we
can try, but if we can come out somewhere around 92.5.
Here's the one thing. Just remember, if you do 92.5, I mean, if you went lower than 92.5, and I'm not saying the board can do whatever they want, just keep in mind, remember, the tax rate that the board adopts for, let's just say it's April 15th, that affects the taxes for June 5th, and if you are adopting a tax rate lower than what we have, you're going to get less revenues.
Now our budget.
That now our budget is slightly skewed.
For FY20.
For fiscal year 20, for the current budget year we're in. So with
say that again.
So Mrs. Eager, so if let's just say you know, let's say the board says, well, we want to go down to, honestly, we're at 92.5 right now, but say we want to go, the board wants to go below 92.5, they want to go down to 92 cents. So whatever tax rate the board adopts, say it's April 15th, that tax rate goes into effect for calendar year 20, which will affect the taxes that are coming due June 5th. So when we adopted our budget for fiscal year 20, we adopted it assuming a full collection period based upon a tax rate of 92.5. But if the board changes that to say 92, we're going to get less revenue come June 5th, which if revenue is going to be suspect in the second half, I don't necessarily know if lowering it would be the best thing to do.
Terrible mistake.
How much, if you lowered it by a half a cent, how much less are you going to cost?
I don't have that number right off the top of my head. We could certainly have it for the next...
180,000.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I think we can find that.
So for today, for the work session, you know, how does the board want to move forward? Because we're going to have a public hearing next week, and that's based upon the advertised budget. And then the week after that is when we have to adopt the budget. So I guess what does the board want to see? I mean, is there consensus that certain things want to be pulled out and we start just kind of going down the list from there?
That's what I'd like to see.
Ms. Booker?
I like the list that she put up to pull the funds. I think it ended up $600,000+ and yep. Put that in fund balance as a
just
as
leave
a
it
cushion.
In fund leave that in fund balance.
Leave it in the fund balance. The only one that I was a little concerned about was the ambulance. Is that a crucial thing that we would have to keep away? What was it, $190,000? Is that crucial that we need to keep that in there?
My only thought about that $190,000 for that ambulance is we're still going to start having two crews.
That was the point I was about to make. We're about to get a second
yes.
crew, and if you have an ambulance that goes out for service, then you're stuck.
Was it DRT provided?
No. We have three ambulances.
And we only run one.
Right now, we only run one, but it's
so
like when
if you
we add the second
two,
crew.
You still have three ambulances, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think we should do anything so put out citizens in jeopardy and Hobbsway. And if an ambulance is in there and it's needed, I think it needs to stay. That's my personal feelings.
Well, then let's take everything else out. Take out the playground.
Remember the...
I'm looking at close current pending CIP projects and return to fund balance.
And the playground is done with money that we can't use for anything else.
Proper money.
It's right. Proper money.
It's proper money. It's not going to change anything in our budget.
Right. And we're going to look for a grant as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
Well, the one thing I was going to look at is there are two things I'd like to see in there. I talked about the 1% to make it even where we talked about for the county employees, which is 66,000. I understand that. And then I'd like to see What would it look like if we, instead of going 392 for the schools, we went 200,000?
If the board wants me to plug in numbers, I can plug in numbers, and I guess you'd have to ask Mr. Winkler what that does for his budget.
Can the budget be done in such a way that if the state doesn't pass the payroll increases, we don't do that?
Yeah, I mean, because if you remember, if they're going to adopt a budget, say in April, we, like I said, our budget is not in effect until July 1st.
No. I'm also sitting here going, if they say, okay, they're not going to give a COLA or whatever, that was, we've already put our money aside. We already have ours baked in at 92 or 94.5 right now. But if we went 92.5, it would still be baked in there. Then we'd be talking about another penny. That's when we could.
How do you get to 92.5 and still bake in all those things? I'm confused. I mean, what?
We'd be close.
So what do you want? What do you want? What do we ask them?
We added extra money. If we took away the 269.
Okay, so let's do this.
And
let's,
then we put 50,000, I think, in each side of one of the, because we had to find a place to put $100,000 last week when you made the suggestion.
You said take out
the debt funding.
Okay, so I took out the debt funding for 269.
Okay.
And then what you used to balance it, you could take that out, right?
We put 50,000, I think, in both CRMs.
Right. Just to balance it to get just to the 94.
Just to use that $100,000 because you said put it at 94.5. And we had to find places to put it.
Right, that's fair.
Let's see. Okay, so now.
And then we had 392 in for the schools. If we went to 200 instead of 392.
You said go to 200?
Go to 200. So we'd be pretty darn close to 92.5.
Why is that going up?
Because that means, so we have 569 available.
And now if you look.
It's still at 94.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ma'am?
Yes. Did you say 200,000 to the schools?
Yes, ma'am. I know that's not fully funding.
What did Mr. Winkler say about?
Mr. Winkler is hopefully on. So, Mr. Winkler, are you on still?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. It will depend on what happens coming out of, and I know a lot of your discussions will depend on what's coming out from the State Department. Our original request, and I'm estimating and doing a little bit of rounding, was at 690. That was based on the governor's budget of about $1.1 million of new money, most of which would have been considered basic aid. When we finally got the General Assembly's budget, it came up about $300,000. We were able to adjust it. Within that $300,000 is the 2% wedge for us at about 275. That nowhere near touches the 2% increase for us when you're talking about all the things that are changing within the BRS. It really totals somewhere close to about 890. If you're asking for me if all the stars aligned and we were able to see $200,000 of new money from the locality, I'm going to say yes, we could do it if the state's budget does not get hit as well. And I am cautiously optimistic that they're going to be looking at K-12 and trying to hold us harmless. But obviously we'll know more, as well as everyone will, with just in three short weeks. It would be difficult to do, to take that kind of cut, because keep in mind our original request was right around 700,000. I think it was about 690 or 680. But then we got $300,000 once the House and the Senate came through with it. If we went back to the original governor's budget at 1.1, from the basic aid standpoint, that $200,000, I absolutely couldn't do raises with it. I could do some type of raise, but it wouldn't be the 2% the way that we're looking at it right now. Obviously, we're grateful. We realize these are uncharted waters and untested times, and I wish I could predict the future. I can completely understand what you're struggling with right now. I'm trying to do the best that I can, as well as the board. I was trying to do the best that we can to hope, you know, that we can support actually adding to the fund balance. And I'm actually talking for me right now, and I've had some preliminary discussions with board, individual board members, but not with the board as a whole. So I'm cautiously saying what I'm saying right now. My goal is that obviously in solidly in the black, and then if things aren't funded via the CIP and certain things that we are in need of, we can have some discussions if we can use some of that money to roll over. Because I'm worried about next year, just like you all are. I get it. I'm rambling a little bit. If nothing happens with the state budget or a minimal impact on what we're getting from the state, if it was only a reduction of basically $190,000, yes, I could make that work. It will depend on what happens after that, after late April from the state.
I guess that's my thought process, is now we have some wiggle room. If we have to do an adoption, or if we have to come up with money from fund balance or something of that nature, I don't want to do it, but...
No, but here's the thing. We don't know what our revenues are really going to look like. So if you go with an aggressive budget like this, and then our revenues are cut, you're going to rip into the fund balance. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Because we don't know. We don't know what our revenues are going to be. So I think it's a mistake to try to cut it so narrowly. I mean, I don't disagree that you could maybe find a penny, get it down to the 93.5 instead of 94.5. But I think what does that put us at right now, the 569?
Probably puts us close to...
We're about $50,000 or $40,000 away from 92.5.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I would leave at least $190,000 in to be used for whatever we decide at some point, whether it's for the schools, additional money for the schools, and then use the budget, use fund balance for CIP if we go down that route. Or we don't use it because our revenues didn't come in the way we thought they were going to come in. I just think you need some cushion in this budget, because I'm not confident the revenues are going to be there.
I just know that people are sitting at home and they don't have revenues.
I totally get that, and those
are the ones that I'm thinking about.
Yeah, no, I totally get that, but we still have to operate the county, and we have a fund balance that's almost depleted now.
How much additional money does all that put back into our fund balance if we don't do those
things that we showed before?
Yeah. It was
658, but if you want to exclude the ambulance, that could be more, but it was 658.
There's another slide in there about the barn building and in that presentation
let's go back.
We didn't really finish that, but it's fine. But
I'm sorry.
No.
No.
Okay. Well, why wouldn't that be some wiggle room there even?
That's what I'm sitting here thinking.
If you do...
For example, take just personal property tax. If we take a 10% hit on personal property
tax, that's 2 cents.
That's $700,000 right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay? There goes your $650,000. And that's just personal property tax.
So here's the thing I can tell you. So we looked back, and some of the numbers were kind of hard to look at, but back in the recession in, what was it, 2009, the collection rates went down about 10%.
Yes. Normally we had, our collection rates were very steady. Back in 2009, when everything tanked, our collection rate for real estate real estate and personal property combined was 83%.
But then it would bounce back up later.
Well, yeah, that's the only time we've seen it that way.
Yes.
Well, in the last 10 years, 11, 12 years.
But I'm just saying we'll eventually get it.
Well, it'll eventually come back.
Yes.
But it
doesn't help you out for the
current. Now, that was a different situation, though. Everybody's mortgages tanked. That was a little bit different than this.
Yeah, 30% foreclosure.
That was a little bit different than this. Now, not to say this isn't horrible, because it is, but it's just a little bit of a different animal.
Right.
So I'm not so sure. No one knows.
That's right.
No one knows.
Even the governor.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
No.
Nope. Yeah. Well, I think that was one of the things that we were talking about a little while ago. Ms. McGuire was talking about that people were adopting the same budget they had last year, and then if they have to make amendments to it, and we're not adopting the same budget, but we can be at the same tax rate.
Charlottesville announced today that their plan is to adopt the same budget, and I'm not really sure how you do that, but they said they were going to adopt the same budget and then look at amending it later.
Now, when they say the same budget, I don't know if they mean the same tax rate or the exact same, but I'm not really sure what that means.
Well, it probably is. It's probably...
Just, I don't know, because your needs change.
On the call today, they said they were looking at the same tax rate and keeping the expenditures per department as the same.
So the same tax rate and expenditures.
And expenditures.
So basically the same budget.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how you do that. Okay. Keep the same tax rate if all your other revenues, like sales tax, meals tax, are not coming in.
Well, that's just it. That isn't going to work either.
Obviously
they have a fund balance that they can afford that, right?
Maybe, and maybe their reassessments on some things, you know, are obviously they're going to be higher and stuff.
Their reassessments did go up.
Yeah, they went up high. So, but from the county, you know, we're gonna hopefully have our reassessments be better than they were.
Well, and keep in mind, we've still got to look at what's going to happen with the JRWA. We don't know whether those expenses happen this year or next year. Next year, you know, it's hard to say. So,
they shouldn't be 21. I don't know.
That's why I hate to be a broken record about the fund balance, but we've got to be really careful with it because we'll have our hands totally tied.
The only emergency we have and we've never used it is at 12%, which is right now at approximately $9 million. Yeah. And I certainly have never advocated that we use that. But I'm just saying that's the only backup money, and that's what it's there for. Disaster, basically.
And right, and so if we ended up having to do that, I would get that, and I wouldn't argue against it, that we are using it because it is an emergency. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just...
Because that has built from $7 million up to $9 million.
Yeah,
the budget has gone up, so that has gone up each year.
The reserve is based upon 12%. Upon the overall budget and revenues of it. So the reserve goes up as the budget goes up. We have a higher reserve
because it was $7 million when it first came on.
Yeah, it probably was. Yeah,
approximately.
Yeah,
$7 million.
Yeah,
but it was $70 million.
Yeah. So it does go up. So I mean, so from a fund balance option. You know, the board can say, well, we don't want to fund any CIP this year and using fund balance, which currently in the proposed budget, you took all that out. You could say, well, we don't want to do the burn building. We don't want to pay for the burn building out of fund balance. And then obviously there's the JRWA to come down the road. But that's the JRWA, that's not going to be in 21. That's going to be at 22 at worst case scenario.
Sure, and I'm just saying.
Best case scenario.
Right. It's not that you're going to use it. It's that when you do use it, is that number even realistic?
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good point.
We never know.
I know.
We can't put enough money there to take that.
So right now, with what we put in there, subtracting out the funding the schools at 200, taking out the debt service for all the vehicles, and then the two capital reserves. That has us at a surplus of 569.
At
94.5.
If you went 92.5, see what would be in the hole.
There we go, more. You're 51,000 in the hole then at this point.
At
92.5.
So this may not be a very popular idea as far as maybe being the HR manager, but one of the things that y'all could consider potentially is cutting down the county raises and doing a half-year raise or even setting up as a bonus come December or January once we get on the other side of this. That's just an option as well if especially while we're uncertain at the moment. And you can make amendments later and some other adjustments. That's just something that's been done in the past.
Yeah, half your raise.
Or you take out the 1%.
Yeah, you could either. You could take.
Then do you add another percent? I thought you put 2% in and then you added another.
Yes, 6%. In my budget, I had a 2% increase, and the board for the advertised tax rate put in another 1%. If you took out the 1% and left my 2% in, you would balance.
You'd balance with 52.
We can balance this pretty easy with $50,000.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we could find $50,000 from somewhere else, or we could find $50,000 in the fund balance, or somewhere else we have money.
What was the increase last year? 3%?
It was 3%.
It was 3%.
The reason I brought it up is last year the schools had money left over and they made it a 4% raise for the school employees, I believe, in about the month of April.
That was nice of them.
I said thank you.
So why not? So it sounds to me that we're going 92 points back, right?
That's where I'd like to be, and that's just me.
92.5. So what's the holdup? Because you already said it's shy of 50,000. Take it out of fund balance. Let's just say 90, keep it there. 92.5. I don't know if we can go any lower or not, maybe.
Well, that's one where you said if you go lower, then you start affecting everything, yeah, right. That money that we take.
Yeah, in. Right. So, yeah. Because there's so many, too many unknowns, and I think we vetted every possibility. That's the only one to me is, to my thinking, is the list that she gave, and I'm not sure whether we ought to take out the ambulance. But put that back in fund balance, and this, and the rest of it, the 269 for the borrowing and something else to say. And if we can come out with 925, I would feel good about it.
Well, what about vehicles? Do we have to buy all the vehicles?
That takes all the vehicles.
No,
out.
What the board was talking about, Mrs. Eager, is basically not funding any CIP. Basically, holding off on CIP, and then I guess, you know, 2, 3, 4, 6, 9 months down the road, depending upon
right.
how things look, you could always relook at what the CIP looks like mid-year if you want.
We'd have a better idea of what we.
Well, the two things we almost have to are going to have to look at are going to be some school buses and some sheriff's vehicles.
Right.
I mean, we'll keep our vehicles to the very minimum of what we need. I showed you that this year.
I know you do a good job on that.
I'm not gonna buy anything that we don't need, and we're frugal with what we put in them. We don't dress them up for parades. Yeah. We're using them to work in.
You quit doing that.
I gave it up.
Now, question: Does that 92.5 also include the schools' 200,000? Are we keeping them at the at the 3?
That puts
92.
Mrs.
Is that at 200,000?
That's a 200,000, Ms. Bull.
It includes the
2.
Okay.
Yes,
ma'am.
All right.
If you did the half year pay raise, you know, again, or even if you just did based it on what does the state do, so that money then becomes cushion if the state does nothing, right? That's certainly an option. Or you do that.
Those are some things that we can do, Dan. We don't have to decide that now, do we?
No.
I mean, we have things in the back of our minds saying once we have more information, if we know where we are, then we can talk about other things. Right now, to me, it's just too many unknowns.
I agree with you on that.
Well, you could. I mean, right now, depending on how you want to figure out the 51,000, if it's, you know, the other things, the only two things you added last week that I think we haven't really, you got the 1% to add to the staff pay, and then you got the sheriff's office pay adjustment. Those are right around 60. What else did we add? We added the registrar relocation, but I don't necessarily know that that's, we're not going to have any.
That's a have to.
Yeah, that's going to be a have to.
Yeah.
You're
done. Yeah.
Otherwise, there's really the two things from what you added last time that have not been addressed that you could balance it with are the sheriff's office pay or the 1% pay.
And here's one thing I'll ask you. Between now and next week, if we left it at 92.5,
yep.
If y'all could go back and look and see if we got any change in numbers anywhere to make those 50,000 disappear.
Okay.
That would be to balance that out.
I mean, my question is going to be to you guys. I mean, I think we're being too skinny here, and you guys are the experts. You guys look at these numbers. I mean, we vote on it, but I'm pretty certain we're not going to get the revenues we think we're going to get. And we are not calculating that into this budget right now. That's a mistake.
No. Mr. Chairman, if you got just a minute.
Yes.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, speaking from the commissioner's office, try to be pretty quiet since I'm a man of few words. One of the things I would just point out, a little levity might go a long way here. One thing for sure, the personal property and real estate values that we have presented to the finance department, those are real numbers, so they're not guesses. Those are going to be, you know, billable revenues. Now, again, the collection is another issue, and we may or may not get it all in 21.
Or 20.
I'll point out that our collection rate generally over a few years comes in at, you know, 99% after it's all said and done. I think there's only, and I won't belabor that, but those are not guesses on personal property. There's nine different categories of real estate. So the one thing that I would like to point out that maybe over the next week, possibly staff could, you know, be included, look at, this is an unprecedented year, we know that. We've effectively all but shut down for 90 days, you know, full quarter of the fiscal year, even at schools. I think y'all are going to be presented with some year-end balances that you haven't seen before because of fuel savings, if nothing else. All of us have shut down any travel because that's just the nature of this beast. I suspect that the year-end revenues that you're going to potentially look at are going to be larger. Funds that are available at year end that have not been executed because we have had to go to amended schedules and schools effectively closed for the last, you know, 90 days of the year. Maybe that's a number they could potentially pull together for y'all by next week to see what we might be looking at as far as any unobligated year end funds that we can look at if we don't change it with work schedule. I think it's going to be pretty
good.
Yeah,
and, but, Mel, I was thinking that the same thing about the schools. But the schools also may need that money to educate these kids because our children are not coming to school, but we still have a responsibility. So I was always thinking that what they saved in the budget would probably be turned into instruction some way or the other, given lessons for children. And I don't know exactly, you know, what they have in mind. I don't know if they're gonna be giving that back to us. And I think too, we kind of lose sight of how well our people pay their taxes.
Well, I think taxes will be collected. I really do.
Yeah.
Excuse me, right. But what I was going to add, Ms. Bowman, I think it goes beyond schools. I think there's, for example, we know we're effectively no travel or hold in place until June 10. Well, it's only a few weeks until the end of the fiscal year. I think every one of our departments, I think about, you know, my department, we generally would have some travel associated with career development. We're not going to be able to do that. Parks and Rec, you know, near and dear to all our hearts, has had to shut down. There's a lot, potentially a number of expenses they're not going to incur because they're not able to execute in their program. So, schools is a big player, but they're not, of course, the only one that's going to be saving money because we're not executing because we're not doing our normal routines. I think it's going to be quite a bit of extra unexpended funds.
Okay, Ms. Booker.
Thank you for looking at the ups. Nothing is up in this situation. Don't get me wrong. But you're right, Mel. I think that is going to be something that we're going to be pretty surprised about.
Yes, ma'am. I think it'll be considerably more than normal because we aren't executing at our normal, a normal schedule. We were all basically on a much reduced schedule, if not shut down, which should certainly generate a full quarter of some revenue that's going to be unexpended.
Yeah, the only thing about that, though, is, I mean, as we always said, the biggest piece of the budgets are the personnel, and we're not getting rid of personnel. You know, the travel, yes, we all have some travel and some training that we go to in our budgets, and say each department has $2,000 for the year. Well, 2,000 times however many budgets, is, and that's for the full year, that's not going to necessarily balance our budget. I mean, there will be savings.
Trying to close the $50,000 gap, you know.
No, you're right. There's going to be some savings.
The one thing with the Parks and Rec is they aren't doing things, but they also aren't
getting revenue,
taking in the revenue that they would be taking in. So that would probably balance itself out. But that's all right, Mr. Spitzer's getting plenty of time working on them fields.
Yep. No, I mean, from county and
school. I just think we're all in it together. And, you know, we all are in it together, and collectively, we, you know, there could be some anticipated return of funds that we're just not going to be able to execute because of their amended schedules and so forth. But, again, it's a small deficit that y'all are trying to fill, 50, 51, 52,000.
All righty. Thank you, sir. All righty. Anybody else? Holy cow.
Silence.
I'm not used to that. So
do you want us to leave the 51 here and see what we come back with, what we can?
I think so.
I'd like to see an honest assessment of what you think. You know, I mean, you should provide some cases of what could happen to.
So I'll show you too, because there was a study that just came out today that someone's doing. But it's kind of hard to apply to us, and it's just kind of this economic study that they've been looking at all these localities that are getting, you know, that are affected by a meals tax, transient occupancy tax, and stuff like that. So haven't had a chance to really look at it.
No. It is good there. I mean, it is good, but I mean, you know, sales tax, personal property collections, you know, those kinds of things. What happens? What are we doing if that happens at that point in time?
Yeah.
I mean, we should say, here's the worst case scenario, here's the best case scenario, you know, and here's a middle case scenario. What does that really look like for us?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what we could do, we could go back and say, let's just say that we see collection rates that we saw drop 10% as they did back in 2009. Well, we could show you what that looks like and how that's affected.
That will affect us up front, but eventually, if we get back to work, that 10% will.
It may. I mean, it could possibly.
It will be paid.
It could possibly just affect us for, you know, this June 5th billing cycle, and maybe once people are back to work, they get all caught up by the end of the next fiscal year. I don't know, but no, we could do that.
Could you
give
me an envelope?
We could come back with some different scenarios as far as, you know, worst case, best case. What do we think? What do we think revenue is really going to do? You know, in
that would be a good idea.
We could do that.
All right. Are there any other questions about the budget then?
Well, what are we going to do?
Mrs. Eager, I think what we're talking about is right now. As it stands right now, we're showing a budget of 92.5. We're showing basically a deficit of 51,000. And from that, what we did is we reduced the school's funding so they get 200,000. We took out all that debt wedge, and we took out the 50 some thousand to each county and school CRM.
How much would it take out the 5 with 92?
Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Booker, what was that?
If it were 92 rather than 92.5,
how much more of the 50 some thousand
would it be?
$180,000.
Yeah. So just
don't.
105. Well, yeah, it's 100. What'd you say, Mariana?
Half a cent.
Well, here, I'll...
It's $108,000.
I have to say it's $156,000. So it's 311.
Plus the 50.
So if we went down to 92 cents, we would be short 206,000 now.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
We'll leave it where it is, right? 92.5.
Unless we get something that says not to do it.
Yeah.
So we can...
Let's get some pizza here before it gets cold.
Yeah, we can. We'll leave it here. We'll go back to the drawing board. We'll look at all revenues. We'll look at all the numbers to see if there's going to be any changes. We'll come back with some worst case scenarios as far as what revenues might do, and we can go from there.
And Eric,
yeah.
Excuse me. And I would like you to pull up the chart that you usually pull up with the value of homes and the different taxes, so we can look at how much more taxes people would have to pay if it's at certain values.
At 92.5, it stays the same.
Well, here.
I think you start at 75,000 up to 250 something. You have the charts available. I always like to look at those.
Yeah, Mrs. Booker, it's up on the screen right now if you see it.
I see it. I just put my hand. I was just talking to you, looking out of the window.
Yep.
Yeah, I see. Thank you.
Yep. So right here, if you have, if someone has a $150,000 house, on average, if you were at 93 cents, their annual tax rate goes up $8 a year.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody's going to thank us for not having enough money down the road. That's for sure.
Yep.
They're not going to thank us for that. Not for the $8 or the $23 they save.
$8.
Yeah. If you right now we're at 92.5. If you have $150,000 house, and the board said let's go to 93, you'd be at $8 a year increase.
That's $16 for the median house.
Yeah. Yeah, $200,000 is roughly around, it's a little more than $200,000, but the median price in Fluvanna, so, you know, probably 12, 13 bucks or something like that. Probably 11, yeah. So, okay, so we will certainly do that. We'll go back to the drawing board, get more information for next week. And unless the board has any other further questions on that piece, we can finish the unfinished business. And like I said, we will have a public hearing next week at 7 p.m. And after the public hearing, if the board wants, we can look at this a little bit more, because we'll have some hopefully more information for the board next week at this time. And so you can make
that beforehand.
What's that?
Should we do that?
Well, you could hear the public's comments first prior to, and then we could work on this. And we're going to have to figure out what we need to do to get public comment on this if it's close to the public and we're doing it remotely. And
before we do the second round of public comment with Ms. Booker, can talk about her email.
So does the board want me to do anything else with this, or can I close this out?
Close that out.
Close it out, okay. So I saved it. Let me close it out.
New business. Do we have new business? I have none on my sheet.
Well, there was that public comment, I guess. You know,
yeah,
I think there's just in general thoughts with regard to how we are communicating and outreaching to our citizens.
Well, Ms. Booker, what we did with the first email that we got was we just basically gave a general overview of what the email says, ma'am. And then we'll add that in it. If you'll forward that to Mr. Dahl, I think you already said you did, then we'll add that to the minutes. So,
okay, and the other thing is, I'm hoping it went to Mr. Winkler, because it's the school email.
Is that the one we got to everybody that they've been sending about the public meetings and the...
Right now, this one is about child care.
Yes, ma'am. It's about having the meeting on the internet and then doing the child care.
Yeah. reopening facilities for five childcare.
Yes, ma'am.
Using the Blue Van County after-school program. I sent it to all the board members and to, I don't know if I sent to Mr. Winkler or not, but I will.
I've received that one about 15 times.
All right. Yeah, okay.
Mr. O'Brien, you were saying something about communicating with the public, or?
I mean, it's just whether we, you know, just a comment more than anything else, not a specific item of new business, but, you know, I think, as was pointed out by Mrs. Booker, there are a lot of nonprofits and community groups that are putting out ideas there, and I think it's just behooves us to make sure that we're responsive to some of the requests that they might make. You know, we're not, you know, we don't have a lot of room to do that right now, but if this drags on a lot longer, what are we, you know, what's the county going to look like? I think there's some modeling that could happen as well, too.
And I spoke about going around to check on neighbors, right. But is there anything that we can do that they can contact here that we can possibly get them in touch with someone if they're in a crisis situation?
You know, yeah, we can. I mean,
groceries, and they're 80 years old and they can't get out their house. Please don't hit me. But I mean,
I'm not 80 years old.
I know you're not. You're 62.
Yeah, no, I mean, can we always do a better job? We can always do a better job at communicating. I mean, obviously, the easiest way to do this is through social means, but there's a lot of individuals that don't communicate that way. But if those individuals that are maybe from a church or a nonprofit organization or a community group, you know, gets the information to us, whether it's, you know, an email to me, whether it's an email to, you know, my two cents or anything like that, or just giving us a call. You know, although the county is on kind of a modified schedule right now, and we have a lot of folks teleworking, we are still working. Everyone's phones, you know, when they're sitting in their office, it's like they're sitting, if they're sitting in their living room, it's like they're sitting right in their office. If it goes to their extension, it rings right at home. So we're still trying to do the county services as we've always done, although it's a little different.
Underneath.
Yeah, if this group meets again, Eric, I will send a link to you.
Okay.
And maybe Kelly, if someone get online.
Yep.
Do we need to make that recommendation now for the treasurer?
I don't think that's necessary.
You know,
she's aware of the problem.
That can be a head nod thing. I don't think we have to.
Yeah, she's aware of the problem. Right?
Yeah, I think if the board had maybe some idea or direction as to what they envision, if it's a date of some sort, we could work into it that way. But, I mean, Fred's office is going to work through the dynamics of what it takes. It's just, what's that date? And if the board has a recommendation, we can certainly give the recommendation to the treasurer.
I would say the 30th, just because I think that's what they had said, just adding it by the end of the year. But I mean, as long as we get the money in, we get the money in.
That's, we just said nominally June 30th, just.
And we could revisit it.
To have individuals, to encourage them to pay their taxes prior to the end of the fiscal year, just so it'll help the county and it'll help the budget. But if that's not what the board wants, then that's that.
And we're basically still keeping June 5th as a day. We're just asking that they don't charge any penalty and interest. Yep. If it's later on, maybe we could do the 10th or whatever.
No, I'm just looking at it and saying if we're all sheltered in place through October, what does that look like?
No, I don't.
You know? So.
My wife even shot me.
Oh, they said the divorce rate spiked in China.
That.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just a little feedback on the tax, you know, first half due date. If it's going to be anything other than 5 June, then we have to have that date before we give the personal property and real estate books to the treasurer for the bills to be done. And, you know, we thought about this at length, you know, in the office today, talking with some of the treasurer staff. You got kind of the whole gamut. Wouldn't be unreasonable potentially to put a date that the first and second half collection would basically both be the same thing, December 7th, because December 5th falls on a Saturday. But I'll tell you, the thing I think about, Ms. Booker made a point earlier about Fluvanna citizens pay their taxes. If we defer it from June 5th, and it's anything but the 5th and bills don't go out, I think we will have probably more calls from people looking for their bill that didn't get it because people pay their taxes in Fluvanna. And what I really think, you stick with the June 5th date, and with the board's support and encouragement, the treasurer can waive the penalty and interest, because there are two components, penalty and interest.
Thank you,
and
sir.
And she could waive that until a date certain later on.
Yeah, Mel, I would have
money.
I certainly am glad you're a man of few words.
Yeah.
Try to be.
Me too.
I know, buddy. But yeah.
Yeah, anyhow.
That makes good point. Ms. Eager?
I said I agree with Mel. I think it should be the 5th with grace period for the penalties.
Mm-hmm. And we keep it at the 5th.
Penalty and interest for the 2 times.
It would be nice to leave the date consistent, but provide some relief to those that can't make it by the 5th, and whether it's June 30th or July 5th or whatever date it is. But
we know that we'll be.
I think that should be affirmative at a later date with the input of the treasurer. It may be depending on where our nation is, but that could be waived for potentially up to 90 days.
People
in Fluvanna will pay the tax.
Well, it's basically we still have a tax due date of June 5th, but you are basically implementing a grace period.
Exactly. And I think there will be less concern from, I would say, a vast majority of our citizens that are expecting to pay it and receive a bill, that they pay by June 5th. So. Just to refresh your mind, the treasurer has to get the bills out not later than 14 days prior to work, prior to the actual date. So April 15th, y'all set a tax rate. That should be sufficient for that to happen with no problem. And just, again, with the board's support and encouragement, ask the treasurer's office to waive penalty and interest for a specific grace period that y'all feel is appropriate. And that can be revisited a second time, but leave June 5th as their first half collection. And then that keeps us in the fiscal cycle we're used to. Okay. The county has the money to continue to operate.
Correct. Thank you, sir.
My thought.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm out.
Do we have anything else that anyone wants to add?
I have a question. Has anybody talked to Joyce Pace? Is she on board for voting?
Ms. Donald, anybody?
I have not talked to Joyce Pace. I know there was some. It's a little bit in flux right now. They're trying to encourage absentee voting right at this moment. But I don't honestly, Mrs. Eager. No, I haven't talked to Joyce in a little bit. And we actually kind of have a staff meeting, that we do kind of remotely to kind of just get updates, and so folks can ask questions and we can ask questions. So I'll make sure to get an update from Ms. Pace tomorrow.
Yeah, the reason I bring this up is we're supposed to be staying at home until the 10th of June, and the primary is June 9th.
I saw the governor was on today, and he talked about mail-in absentee ballot. I don't remember him saying anything about going to the polls.
He said they
were. I don't know.
He said they were currently in the process.
Huh?
He said they were currently in the process of trying to figure out what to do because a lot of places have an election scheduled for May.
Yeah.
And at this point,
in May.
Said, yeah. A lot of localities. Yeah. And he said at this point he had made no decision.
Yeah.
So it's.
I know he talked about absentee voting, right? So.
Well, I'm sure they're going to encourage absentee voting, no matter if it's May, June, or whatever it is at this point. But
right.
We'll find out more as time goes on. Just like everything, we're being flexible on a weekly basis.
Okay.
Sorry.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, sir. Sure.
When y'all were talking about the food earlier, I wanted to, have y'all seen the Feeding for Fluvanna poster that's going around? It's a part of DSS, MACA, Fluvanna County Public Schools, Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, and area churches are all collaborating, and we're going around putting these in the dollar stores and stuff for them, help them out for those that don't have internet, and it gives the locations and all that stuff, and we put it on our Facebook, so a lot of people in the community are helping.
All righty. Well, if nobody else has anything else to add, I'm going to ask if we have a motion to adjourn.
Wait a second, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Well, the second round of public comments, I think we covered with that, but Mr. Weaver has something he wants.
Yeah, I'm on a jail board, and I wanted to bring you up to date. Eric knows all about it. It says, Mr. Weaver, the total amount deposited in a VIP account was $9 million total. The interest rate started at 1.72, and as of yesterday, it was 1.15, averaging $227 per day. Unfortunately, because of the world events, rates are dropping. What I basically wanted to say was they budgeted $20,000 for the jail board. And the last report I had, which was a month or so ago, we already collected $80,000, and it looks like it's going to come more than that. We have put it in state funds, and we've changed the bank, so on and so forth. So that helps the county.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yep. I said. Yep. Motion to adjourn. Do we have a motion to adjourn by Mr. O'Brien? Second. Do we have a second by Mr. Weaver? Ms. Eager, do you want to adjourn?
Yes.
Ms. Booker?
Yes.
Mr. Weaver?
Yes.
Mr. O'Brien?
Yes.
Chair votes aye. We're now adjourned. Thank y'all very much.